Our journey tracking the legacy of President Abraham Lincoln 150 years after his death is nearing its end. I've spent much of the past week or so traveling through Ohio and Indiana, retracing the route of the president's funeral train. And we finally arrived in Springfield, Illinois, the president's hometown. This weekend, Springfield will remember and reenact Lincoln's funeral at the Oak Ridge Cemetery. The president's body arrived in the state capitol after a 1,700-mile train ride from Washington, D.C. It passed through a dozen big cities, and it said 7 million people came out along the way to pay their respects. That's a quarter of the northern population of the country at the time. I met Ian Hunt, a historian with the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library, at the cemetery. He says when Lincoln's body arrived, the city was overrun with mourners.
The city fathers were imploring the citizens of the city to open their homes to strangers because there were literally so many people here. They overwhelmed what few facilities existed for staying overnight. And we have stories about walking into people's homes and in their front parlor were people sleeping shoulder to shoulder on their floor that they had never met before. So it would have been huge crowds, huge procession. And it was probably the saddest day in Springfield history, at least up until that point.
And this had been a journey that had been going on for about 2 weeks. I imagine it was sort of a relief to arrive. Do you know like what the mood was? It was sad, but it was also the end of the journey.
There was a lot of anticipation with the president's body arriving back here. There had been some concerns that because the journey had taken so long, that time would have taken its toll on the president's corpse. They actually moved up the date of the funeral in Springfield because it was decided while the train was passing through Buffalo, New York, that the president's remains were not doing as well as they had hoped. The original date for the ceremony in Springfield had been May the 6th, and officials traveling with the body actually wired ahead and said, you need to move the date up a few days. So there was some anticipation about that. There was, I have to imagine, just some sense of excitement, muted excitement, that they were bringing Abraham home. He was the most popular adopted son in the city.
Hunt is standing in front of the vault where Lincoln's body was first held. A few feet away, a white oak tree once stood that cast shade for the funeral choir 150 years ago. People called it the Lincoln Vault Oak. It grew strong and tall as the years passed, but in 1992, architects and town officials worried the now towering tree's roots and branches threatened the historic vault. So the white oak came down, much to the displeasure of arborist Guy Sternberg.
And to me, it was just as valuable as the vault was. It was living history that continued to grow through time, and you could see it in photos of the funeral, this little tree that had shaded the choir.
Sternberg lives among flowering dogwoods, blooming buckeyes, and 750 different kinds of oaks at the Star Hill Forest Arboretum near Springfield. That's where he told me that when the tree was cut, he and a friend managed to salvage the stump. When they cut into it, a history project began.
And we found where the acorn was. It had germinated in the fall of 1844. And as you count rings in the tree, of course, it only grows a few inches that first year and a few inches the next year, so it takes several years to get up to knee height. So you can go up and take cross-sections at that point and see 1845, 1846.
So the tree was about 20 years old when the funeral occurred.
Right.
And when you took the dissection of the stump, it sounds like history starts to get peeled back and reveals itself when you start looking at this thing.
When you look at the tree, it's like peeling an onion. And, of course, the outer ring is the most recent ring. And the outer ring in this case was 1992, which was the year that it was cut that fall. And what we found was changes in growth rate. We found places where the tree had been nicked here and there in the past. We found a blue stain, which was very significant because ferrous metals make blue staining in oak sap. So if you drive a nail or a steel staple or something into a tree and you sever the vascular system, the blood flow, if you will, of that tree, the sap, the acid in the sap protects the nail. It causes a blue reactive stain that goes up and down in the tree through that vessel system. So whenever you see a blue stain, if you're a sawmill operator, you stop right there because you know there's steel in that tree someplace or iron. In this case, we wanted to find what it was. So we took that entire section to the hospital and had a fluoroscopy done of it, which is as I understand it, like a live X-ray where you can move the tree around and see inside of it.
You took the tree stump to a hospital?
We took a 12 by 12 by 24 inch section, about a 150 pound section to there. But we knew where that section had come from. We knew exactly what year and which direction it had faced and so forth, because whatever was in there, we wanted to know what year it was put there and what direction it was on the trees, and we tried to piece together what had happened. And we found two old-fashioned nails, the old square-cut nails, in the tree. They had been driven in 1936, and they extended into the tree to, about five more years, and extended out of the tree another 3 years to 1939. Once we found it by X-ray, we used that and set up and measured and opened the tree up and found the two nails, and they are still lodged in the piece that we've salvaged.
And what do you think was going on at that time in history to get those nails inside the tree?
Well, one can only speculate, like CSI, you don't have a lot of evidence, but we know they were driven probably in the dormant season or the fall of 1936. And if you look back in the records, October 11th, 1936 was when they had the celebration of the Servius Tullius stone at the monument. The Italian government had given our governments years earlier a stone from the wall of Rome that had been built by their emperor Servius Tullius, who they considered their version of Lincoln. He was freeing the slaves and so forth. And not knowing what to do with it, they sort of shelved it for now in the Capitol basements, and it was there for years. And upon finding this, the Italian ambassador was going to be visiting Springfield, and he had said, "I'd love to see what you did with the Servius Tullius stone." And everybody's saying, "What Servius Tullius stone? Where is this thing?" Well, they found it under some trash and empty boxes in the basement of the Capitol. So they very quickly went over and mounted it on the upper level and on the front of the tomb and had a dedication ceremony that day. And we know from the records there were thousands of people in attendance, and I would speculate that the nails were driven for a traffic barrier or a sign or something pertaining to that event.
What else did you find when you started peeling back the layers of the onion?
We did find one thing that I just found tremendously interesting, and that was there was a place on the uphill side of the tree where the bark and a bit of the sap would have been scraped off, scuffed off, and someone had taken some sharp instrument like a scythe and basically gouged out the bark and a little bit of the sapwood below the bark. And I speculate that was to clear the site for Lincoln's choir, because it would probably have been full of brambles. And so if you look at the site, there were a lot of little sapling trees, and there probably would have been blackberries and things in there. You know exactly when it was, because the scythe took out part of the 1864 growth ring, and the 1865 growth ring started to go and close over it. So it was between those two times.
Well, the Lincoln Vault Oak may have fallen, but it's still yielding secrets from history. And before it fell, the tree left a trace of itself that's still living today at Guy Sternberg's Arboretum. All right, so we have walked down the hill from your home, and here we are standing in front of what looks like a dormant tree. But again, this is a descendant of the original Lincoln Vault Oak.
Right. This was a one-year-old seedling that had germinated from an acorn that fell from the oak and landed on the upper wall of the vault. And there were several of them there, and a friend and I got four of them, managed to make them live. And this is one of two that we have here at the Arboretum. We'll be propagating off them, and in fact we already are grafting off them to restore a new Lincoln Vault Oak from the old one back in the same place again.
And it's still sleeping, and it's a beautiful spring day. I imagine Not too long from now we're going to see this tree bud out.
Right, and if you look at it, this is the degree that the parent tree would have been budded out during Lincoln's funeral. The buds were just beginning to swell, but it had not been any real growth yet.
Wow. And this tree could be standing here for 300 years.
Oh, at least. A number of things that could take them out, but they have the potential, just like you and I have the potential to live to be 100, they can live to be at least 500.
Guy Sternberg at the Star Hill Forest Arboretum outside Springfield, Illinois. You can see a video that we put together at the tomb where Lincoln's body was received. It's at hereandnow.org. In one of the old photos from that video, you can see the young Lincoln Vault Oak standing vigil.